Chapter 12. Welcome Home. Master Blint's voice was tinged with sarcasm, but Azoth didn't hear it. The word home held magic. He'd never had a home. Durzo Blint's house crouched deep in the warrens, underneath the ruins of an old temple. Azoth stared in open wonder. From the outside, it looked like there was nothing here. But Blint had several rooms, none of them small.
"You'll learn to fight here," Blint said, locking, unlocking, and relocking each of three bolts on the door.
The room was wide and deep, and crammed with equipment, various targets, pads filled with straw, and every kind of practice weapon, beams suspended above the ground, strange tripods with wood appendages, cables, ropes, hooks, and ladders.
"And you'll learn to use those."
Blint pointed to the weapons lining the walls, each neatly outlined in white paint. There were weapons of every size and shape, from single-edged daggers to enormous cleavers. Blades, straight or curving, one or two-edged, one or two-handed, with different colors and patterns of steel. Swords with hooks, notches, and barbs. Then there were maces, flails, axes, warhammers, clubs, staves, pole arms, sickles, spears, slings, darts, garrots, short bows, long bows, crossbows. The next room was just as amazing. Disguises and equipment lined the walls, each painstakingly outlined. But here, there were also tables covered with books and vials. The books bristled with bookmarks. The jars covered a huge table and were filled with seeds, flowers, leaves, mushrooms, liquids, and powders. "These are the basic ingredients for most of the poisons in the world. As soon as Mama Kay teaches you how to read, you'll read and memorize most of what's in these books. The poisoner's art is an art. You will master it."
"Yes, sir."
"In a couple of years, when your talent quickens, I'll teach you to use magic."
"Magic?"
Azoth was feeling more exhausted by the second.
"You think I accepted you because of your looks? Magic is essential to what we do. No talent, no wet boy."
Azoth started to totter, but before he could collapse, Master Blint grabbed him by the back of his ragged tunic and guided him to the next room. There was only one pallet, but Blint didn't set him on it, but guided him instead to a spot by a small fireplace.
"First kills are hard," Blint said.
He seemed to be speaking from far away.
"Sometime this week, you'll probably cry. Do it when I'm gone."
"I won't cry," Azoth vowed.
"Sure. Now sleep."
"Life is empty. When we take a life, we aren't taking anything of value. Wet boys are killers. That's all we do. That's all we are. There are no poets in the bitter business," Blint said.
He must have left while Azoth slept, because Azoth now held a sword small enough for an 11-year-old in his fist, feeling awkward.
"Now attack me," Blint said.
"What?"
The side of Blint's sword smashed into Azoth's head.
"I order. You obey. No hesitations. Got it?"
"Yes, sir."
Azoth climbed to his feet and picked up the sword. He rubbed his head.
"Attack," Blint said.
Azoth did. Wildly. Blint deflected his blows or stepped to one side so that Azoth fell over from the force of his own swings. All the while, Blint spoke.
"You aren't making art. You're making corpses. Dead is dead."
He parried quickly, and Azoth's blade went skittering across the floor. "Grab that." Blint walked after Azoth and engaged him again. "Don't play with your kills. Don't go for the one-thrust beautiful finish. Cut someone 20 times and let them collapse from blood loss, then finish them. Don't make it beautiful.
You aren't making art, you're making corpses.
And so, the lessons continued. Physical action with a continuously running monologue. Each lesson summarized, demonstrated, and summarized again. In the study. Never taste death. Every vial, every jar in here is death. If you're working with death, you'll get powders, pastes, and salves on your hands. Never lick the death on your fingers. Never touch death to your eyes. You'll wash your hands with this liquor, and then this water, always into this basin which is used for nothing else, and will only be emptied where I show you. Never taste death. On the street. Embrace the shadows. Breathe the silence. Be ordinary. Be invisible. Mark the man. Know every out. When he made mistakes, Blint didn't yell. If Azoth didn't block correctly, he was merely drawing his wage when the wood practice sword crashed into his shin. If he couldn't recite the lesson of the day and expand on any that Blint asked about, he got cuffed for every one he forgot. It was all even-handed. It was all fair. But Azoth never relaxed. If he failed too much, just as dispassionately as Master Blint cuffed Azoth, he might kill him. All it would take would be for Blint to not pull one blow short. Azoth wouldn't even know he'd failed until he found himself dying. More than once he wanted to quit. But there was no quitting. More than once he wanted to kill Blint, but trying would mean death. More than once, he wanted to cry. But he'd vowed he wouldn't. And he didn't.
Mama Kay, who's Vonda?
Azoth asked. After his reading lessons, she took a cup of utai before they started on politics, history, and court etiquette. After he trained with Blint all morning, he studied with her through the afternoon. He was exhausted and sore all the time, but he slept through the whole of every night and woke warm, not shivering. The gnawing voice and debilitating weakness of hunger was only a memory. He never complained. If he did, they might make him go back. Mama Kay didn't answer immediately.
That is a very delicate question. Does that mean you won't tell me?
It means I don't want to. But I will because you may need to know, and the man who should tell you won't. She closed her eyes for a moment, and when she continued, her voice was flat.
Vonda was Durzo's lover. Durzo had a treasure, and Kalador's God-King wanted it. You remember what I taught you about Kalador?
Azoth nodded.
Mama Kay opened her eyes and lifted her eyebrows.
He grimaced, then recited.
Kalador is our northern neighbor. They've always said Cenaria and most of Mitkrayu is theirs, but they can't take it because Duke Gyre and his men guard Screaming Winds.
The pass at Screaming Winds is highly defensible, Mama Kay suggested.
And the prize?
When Azoth looked at her blankly, she said, Kalador could go around the mountains the long way, but they won't because...
Because we're not really worth it and the Sakage runs everything.
Cenaria is corrupt. The treasury is empty. The Siurans raid us from the south, and the Li Nort holds our eastern lands... And they hate Kalidorans even more than they hate most mages, so yes, we're not worth the taking.
Isn't that what I said?
You were right, but not for all the right reasons, she said.
She sipped her utai again, and Azoth thought she'd forgotten his original question, or that she hoped he had.
Then she said, To get Durzo's treasure... The God-King kidnapped Vonda and proposed a trade. The treasure for Vonda's life. Durzo decided that his treasure was more important, so he let her die. But something happened,
and Durzo lost his treasure, too. So Vonda died for no reason whatsoever.
You're mad at him,
Azoth said. Mama Kay's voice had no inflection whatever, and her eyes were dead. It was a great treasure, Azoth. If I were Durzo, I might have done the same. Except for one thing. She looked away. Vonda was my little sister.